a few objects in the world that are perhaps classified as akaropoita images. It's a Greek word meaning not made from human hands. The Telma of Our Lady of Guadalupe is one that comes to mind, but perhaps the world's most famous object in this category, or thought to be, by Christians around the world, is that of the Shroud of Turin, the purported burial cloth of Christ. And we had that 1988 carbon testing that was so disappointing, those test results that came back, but there are new discoveries with the Shroud of Turin that are opening up calls for new investigation, and there still is the question that remains: how was the image formed? Well, we're so grateful today to be joined by Dr. Gerard Verschuren. He's the author of a brand new book, A Catholic Scientist Champions the Shroud of Turin. We've had him on the show numerous times before, and we're so grateful to have him back during Holy Week to talk about the Shroud. Welcome back to the show today, Dr. Gerard.
Yes, thank you for inviting me, Michael.
Yeah, it's always great to talk with you. And the Shroud of Turin is one of my favorite subjects, because with all the developments that we have in science, all those things where we know the answers to how things work, we do not know about the Shroud of Turin. What inspired your interest in championing the Shroud of Turin in this new book, A Catholic Scientist Champions the Shroud of Turin?
Yeah, I think a few decades ago, there was not much need to defend the authenticity of the Shroud. Of course, there were always a few voices that said it's a forgery, it's a painted replica, etc. But as you said already in your introduction, the real turning point came when the carbon test results of 1988 were released, declared in the name of science with the authority of science. And it dated it to 1260 to 1390. Believe it or not, all of a sudden, there was a turmoil. It was what many consider the final blow to believers in the authenticity of the Shroud. I thought it was my call to investigate that final blow. Is it really worth our attention, or should we be very ashamed of the scientists who did that in the name of science, with the authority of science? So I wrote this book to show where the problem is with that dating, and what other kind of information we have received since then that that should reconsider our doubts about the authenticity of the Shroud.
Absolutely. And this is a perfect time to talk about the Shroud, of course, as we're in the midst of Holy Week, heading towards Easter. And the burial cloth of Christ, if it were that, and there are many like myself and like you who believe it to be true, it helps us reflect on those moments of the Passion and the reality of Jesus Christ suffering and dying for us on the cross. And so when we look at the Shroud of Turin, I think that one of the big questions or red flags that comes up, and I think that there was some recent Freedom of Information Act kind of access to the samples just very recently. Tristan Casabianca, I believe, is the person who forced those doors open for those samples to be released to the world. What do we know about the sample locations taken on the Shroud for that 1988 carbon testing? And is it something that was done in the proper way?
Yeah, I would say it turned out that they couldn't have taken a worse part of the Shroud. It was, first of all, at the left side of it, so it's... It was really not a very representative sample, and science is based on representative samples. When we investigate now the COVID ID or the Wuhan virus, whatever you want to call it, you always need representative cases, sample. That was not done properly, and we can blame the scientists who were involved with it, but I also have to acknowledge that the Vatican finally okayed that they reduced 7 laboratories to 3. 1, 2, 3. And so that makes it already very dubious. But it was the worst sample they could have taken. It was from the site where, as we know from drawings in the past, where bishops would hold the cloth, the linen, the Shroud, up for display. So it is covered with DNA, with cells of people. It is covered with all kind of other contamination. And besides, it has been shown that there were all dyed spots. Some spots were dyed to make them more look like the rest of the shroud.
And let me ask about that point specifically. Was this the patchwork area due to a fire or other repairs that was added to the shroud from the original fabric, or were the samples taken in the original shroud area?
No, it was not taken from the original area, and it was basically on request of the Vatican. They didn't want to damage the shroud because it was so important to Christianity, and it still is, and it will even be more and more. So they just took that spot to make sure that they wouldn't cause any damage. Yeah, great, but they did damage to the authenticity of the shroud.
So that's right. It damaged the faith of believers around the world who had their hopes and their dreams, and they really believe this to be the authentic shroud of Jesus Christ, and then science said otherwise. We're talking today with Dr. Gerard Verschuren about the Shroud of Turin, that famous image purported to be the burial cloth of Christ, and his new book is called A Catholic Scientist Champions the Shroud of Turin, from Sophia Institute Press. And if we were to push aside the carbon dating for a moment, and perhaps the future there'll be more carbon dating that will give us a clearer view of what the shroud is, when we look at the reasons for authenticity, all those things that are inexplicable, how the image was made, the anatomy being so perfect, there being bloodstains on the shroud itself, what are the things that catch your attention as being the ultimate proofs that we are dealing with something of a remarkable item here?
I am very impressed by the textile analysis. A textile scientist from Switzerland, she studied the linen that the shroud is made of. It's very fine linen. But what is more important is she discovered that the weaving pattern, I won't go into details, that's all in the book, that the weaving pattern is identical, basically, to the weaving pattern we had found in Masada. And Masada was from the first century, in our counting of centuries, and it's that proves almost that it's very old, because later on we never find that same weaving pattern anymore. And another reason that she found is it's also found in the Black Sea rolls, and I assume that most people know what that is. They were partially covered in linens, and those linens had that same weaving pattern. And the Dead Sea Rolls were all from the 1st, 2nd century. So that is important information. I don't really bank on carbon dating anymore, because it's too dangerous. It has too many impurities on the cloth that we don't want to be confused by. For, of course, if many people later on handled it, then the dating will just come up with very recent dates and not the real original ones. Another evidence, in my opinion, comes from pollen analysis. We have found all kind of pollens on the sheet, and those pollens are for a large part from Israel or even from near Jerusalem. And even Jewish botanists have confirmed that. So it's not a bias that Christians have. They say, yeah, it's really from that time. There is much more on it, of course, because as I show in my book, it went through a long road. It went from Jerusalem to Edessa, nowadays close to Turkey. It was finally transferred to France, so it had to go across the Alps, and then finally it was brought back again to Turin. So a lot of pollen was collected on there. But still, the pollen analysis is another strong indication, and I would say a very convincing indication, that the shroud is very old.
Absolutely. And we talk about, you know, the potential of this being a medieval forgery. And the person who were to do such a thing, a medieval forgery, would have to be an expert in pollen, even before that was known to the world. They'd have to be an expert in anatomy and any number of other things, and photography in some ways, to paint the image in the reverse as it was done. And so there are many reasons that people are thoughtful that this is, in fact, the true burial cloth of Christ. And when we talk about the Vatican's reluctance to give a sample in the central region of the shroud because they didn't want to destroy it, so they recommended the outer area be tested. Are there new technologies now today, all these years later, after that 1988 testing that's less destructive, that a new test could be done to give us a better sense of the aging in the shroud?
You mean a new carbon dating test?
A new type of test, or a new way. What is your recommendation for the path forward, for them to test the shroud again? If you think that's a wise thing to do.
If you know, but the shroud is so vital for Christianity, I think that they have to protect it. They put it in a bulletproof encasing that has temperature control inside. It has no chemical. Active chemicals in there. So why would they all of a sudden go through another test again on the important part of the shroud? I think that would be, you know, self-destructive if they did that. So I think there won't be any much other testing than what we have already. And besides, the testing was mostly well done, except for the carbon dating. That people who doubt will always doubt. They don't like to give in to something they don't like to see. And I think that is the main reason why some scientists will always be skeptical. But skeptic cannot really find the truth. They will never reach the truth. They will always doubt what has been claimed. So I am not that waiting that long for more testing or whatever. There is something new now that they are doing on the DNA, which was not available for a long time. But even I don't expect much from the DNA testing, because DNA testing always makes comparisons with others. And with whom are we going to compare this with? There was on the Discovery Channel, not too long ago, there was a Protestant minister and a so-called geneticist who claimed that they had a DNA from it, but it was so defragmented, because DNA defragments easily, and especially if the shroud is 2 million years old, 2,000 years old, that makes it very doubtful that you can expect anything from DNA analysis. What we did find out is that there is the little DNA that is left in the samples is from the Y chromosome, so it was definitely a man. But again, it was very fragmented. So they went for what they call mitochondrial DNA, which is much more present, because regular DNA is only in one copy in the cell nucleus. In mitochondrial DNA, we have much more in the cell. And the sad part of the red blood cells that we found on the shroud, that they don't have any DNA, because they don't have a nucleus anymore. So our hope is now in the mitochondrial DNA. But where would that get us? So what this Protestant minister claimed, that they found DNA that was of Druze origin. The Druze nowadays are Muslims, but of course they were not Muslims at the time of Jesus. So they have not really a foot to stand on. So what are they going to compare it with? So they claimed that if we compare it with the remnants we have left of John the Baptizer, who was related to Jesus Christ, then we can compare whether they were closely related. Yeah, so what? I would say we knew that already. So I don't expect many new developments. I know we would like to hear more developments because we all have so much confidence in science. But science in the past has also often disappointed us.
That's right. These are amazing things to consider, and the Shroud of Turin will remain a mystery through the years, but it still serves as an inspiration for us as we reflect this week and always on the passion and death of our Lord. Well, we're so grateful to you, Dr. Gerard Verschuren, for sharing your insights that are found in the book, A Catholic Scientist Champions the Shroud of Turin. People can pick that up from Sophia Institute Press, and we're so grateful for you joining us today, and we look forward to future conversations with you on the Shroud and other topics related to faith and science. Thanks so much for being with us on the program today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
God bless. That was Dr. Gerard Verschuren talking to us about his book, A Catholic Scientist Champions the Shroud of Turin.